reviews being conducted on the evolution of the Port Bay Hunting and Fishing Club from 1913 to 1972. The interview is being conducted at the Port Bay Club. The interviewer is Albert Fitzgerald, and he is interviewing Milton Harrell, the present club manager. Mr. Harrell, would you like to introduce yourself and give you something of your early?
Yes, I am Milton Harrell, manager of the Port Bay Hunting and Fishing Club in Rogers County. I've been manager 24 years. I worked with the club several years before I became manager. I succeeded my father. He was manager before I was. And there's been some changes in the club since I've been manager, and quite a few before. Hunting and such has changed a lot, especially limbs and such as that.
Did you give something of your education?
Well, I was born in this county in 1916, just about 5 miles from here on the Lincoln Range. And we moved out of the county and moved back to Rockport in 1926, and I've been here since. I finished high school here and went to ANI College for 2 years, 36, 37, part 38. And I worked for civil service about 4.5 years or more, and I've been managing this club since. It has only had 4 managers, and I am 4 in 60 years.
In the club itself, maybe we could start by showing the changes that have occurred. Maybe you could tell us about how the club was started.
Well, this place was a day hunting club years ago. This club was organized in 1912, and they took it was just charged by the day. It wasn't a membership of the public club. And there were some fellows that had quite a bit of money, and they decided to, some of them decided it'd be a good idea if they bought this property and organized a club here, a private membership club. So that was done. It was done, it was consummated on the 3rd of May, 1912. And Mr. Andrew Sorensen was the first manager. He had. In fact, he was running it as a day club, a public club at that time. And he had to organize it, and was the first manager he was for 5 years. His grandson is a member of the club now. He's the president of the bank here, James Hunts. There's been lots of changes since then.
What was the size of the club when it first started?
Well, if I remember correctly, it had 50 members when it was first organized. And it just grew for the times, and up to 100 members now. They're keeping it at 100 members. It's been 100 members now for about 30 years. And there's always a waiting list to get someone else in. And, if they have us here stock for sale, someone might die or someone might want to get out of the club, then the man that has the longest term on the waiting list is entitled to stock unless a father wants to leave it to his son or something like that in the family.
Does each member own the same amount of stock in the club?
On the same amount of stock. It's equal shares to all members. When a man sells his share stock, he has no more interest in the club.
And his shares of stock, that's different than the membership dues.
Right, right. That's right. Plus the membership, members all have to pay dues. But the share of stock is, they buy it for, well, now it used to be $100, and now it's, I think 300.
shares does a person, does a person own?
Well, a person can't own more than two shares of stock. Most, there's only, right now, there's only one person that does own two shares of stock. But one of them has to be in one of his family's, the name of one of his sons or such, which it is. It's, they charge tribute because Kenna and his elder son, Ray, has the name of stock. It's in his name.
Back to the first member itself. Can you tell anything about the first members in the club?
Well, that was a little bit before my time, but I can remember some that that were in. I mean, I can remember some of the men. Yeah. I can remember some of them too. But Mr. Pierce, who was the manufacturer of Pierce Air Automobiles, he was one of the first members. I C. Thurman from Oklahoma City was a charter member. And also saw a cheese roll, Vaseline manufacturer was one. And there's, I don't recall anymore, I can't remember who others were, but of course all of them, there's no charter members left. They all passed away.
Do you remember anything about these? Mentioned these three, Mr. Pierce and Mr. I.C. Thurman.
The only one that I knew was Mr. I.C. Thurman. And he built the first cottage here. There's four private cottages here, and he built the first one. And Miss Thurman is still living. She's 100 years old and lives now in Texas.
Do you know anything about any of these members? Mr. Cheeseborough, so.
Well, I never did know him, but I knew some of his habits. He would use zinc box was legal then. And he had iron decoys to put around the zinc box to keep it down in the water. And I remember that he liked up very well, but he liked them just barely hot. I don't know how he could eat them, but he did.
Do you know anything about his kidnapping?
Charlie Herschel was the one that was kidnapped. Oh. He was not a charter member, but he got in the club in the 20s, early 20s. And I have a book on his kidnapping by Machine Gun Kelly. And he was a real fine man and hunted a lot, real fine hunter. And he didn't tell me but very little about kidnapping himself, but one of his good friends that edited this book, you might say, gave me a book and he told me all about it. How they caught the robber. Did you ever hear that?
No, I never did.
Well, they had him out of Coleman, Texas, and had him tied up in a room. And every day, there was a plane that would pass the time he came over. And he would look at his watch, and he came over the same time, within 10 minutes every day. And after they released him for $200,000 ransom, then the officers found this plane, found out which plane was traveling this route to. And at a certain time, that's where it was, Machine Gun Kelly. And he was sent to prison for life and died in prison about 4 or 5 years ago.
Did he say anything about, did either of the two gentlemen you mentioned say anything about Machine Gun Kelly? You got any kind of a character sketch that they?
Well, not a whole lot. This fellow's name was Reed. I'm not that positive. But he told me a little bit about it. He said he was good to, he treated him nice when he captured him. But he was pretty well noted as a bad character, Machine Gun Kelly was. You can probably guess that by the name.
How did the members get to the club in the early days?
Well, in the early days, they came by train. There were no paved roads from Gregory to then Rockport. And they would come by train, and some of them stay a week, some of them stay 2 weeks. And we had a fellow in Rockport, Charlie Cleveland, was in the Ford business at one time. And he had a Model T. He had a garage in Rockport. He had a Model T Ford truck. And he could get along pretty good over the mud road, so he'd go directly and get them and their baggage and bring it out of the club. And he had a pretty hard time sometimes, but he usually made it with his chains and all. And then he'd take them back to Craig and put them back on the train when they're ready to go. Now, a lot of them drive and some of them fly. A lot of them fly down to the airport in Ramsey County, get a taxi drive, go up and get them. Sometimes they fly to Corpus and rent a car. A whole lot faster than it used to be.
How long do they stay now?
Well, I'm starting to stay for 2 days now. They get 2 minutes of that fly. Of course, some will stay a little longer, but the majority of them will stay for 200 days. Years ago, they could shift up some, and they could kill 2 ounce ducks, which was at that time was 25 a day, 50 ducks. And they would ship them in barrels and go on the next day. But the federal government decided that as long as they were in transit, they were still in your possession, you weren't allowed in 2 days when they were in your possession. So they stopped that. Now they take their guns with them and nice chips. But they used to ship them in barrels. There's an old gentleman down here with the name of Charles Fairbairn. He's still living, about 90 years old. He had a bait stand in an ice house down there, and he packed a lot of that for them in barrels. They're all talking about that. Now some of them, when they first got to drive in their car down, they didn't have any trunk in the old cars, you know. So they put them in tow sacks, put it in chunks of ice, and take out a sign told them they used to wear them. Died on the fender.
Before they packed these ducks, would they clean them or would they just pack them?
Well, a lot of them would clean them, not pick them. But now all ducks are picked, practically every one of them. But at that time, there's a lot of them didn't want to pick. They just clean them, you know, guys would clean them. And they take them with the feathers on them, but now they want them all picked.
Where'd you used to get your guys? Where'd the guys come from?
Well, mostly all local people around here. Some Mexican boys, of course. I have some. Some weekend have some school boys and some college boys on the weekend. Of course, years ago, times were pretty hard. Well, this was a pretty good job, even though you did make the $2 a day, and you had grown men glad to get the job. Of course, that's very depressing, you know. And they done pretty good. Anything then, a job was a job. Of course, now it's a whole lot harder to get good help, because anyone that wants to work is working. So you got to just get what you can. Mm-hmm. Of course, the school kids, they all like the guys on the weekend at high school, you know. And I can get several of them.
Do they make pretty good guys?
They make pretty good guys. They don't know near as much as the old hybrid did, actually, because they haven't been doing it that long. Most trouble now, but the kids don't know how to handle a boat. If they didn't have a motor, they couldn't get anywhere. And years ago, we didn't have a motor. We used the old one. Thought nothing of it, because when you used the motor, I rode all over the bay. Any kind of weather. These kids now can't do it. Their motor breaks down, they got to stay there, they go get it.
What are the guys required to do?
Well, they go to their rooms, I assign hundreds of guys, and they go to their rooms, get their guns and ammunition. And when they go down to the break room, they get a skiff. The boat, they have the motor on it ready, you Rhonda gets in and they tie on my morals. And I pull them out and sign them blind. And then the job guy is to put out the decoys and pick the ducks up and watch for ducks. And then when they get ready to come in, one has to pick the decoys up again. And they also pick and clean the ducks for them.
Did the earlier guys, once the grown men, did they do any more than the ones today?
Well, not too much, no. Well, in those days, if we weren't guiding, we'd done something else around here. We might get out and cut wood or trim things up, such as that. Now, when the guy gets in, he's ready to go to town. You have to make him stay out of here, get anything out of him there. It's just about as well to let him go to town because he's not going to get a whole lot out of him. Skiffs, hunting skiffs. Has the club always built its own skiffs? Always has. They used to get tired built, but since I come out here, I've been building them all set. We used to build them out of Cypress. Now, you can't get Cypress that's 20 inches wide, you know. Just 14 feet long, you just can't get Cypress like that anymore. So we build them out of plywood, but I build them all skiffs. And built one of the motorboats, the biggest one down there. Of course, years ago, we didn't have any channel in beside our pier either. We had to anchor out over the bar. In fact, it was an iron stake about 6 feet long, driven all the way with a big ring in it down the bottom of the bay, and it had a half-inch chain in it. And then you had a buoy on the chain. Well, I can call that buoy and anchor the boat out there. In the morning, it was a real hard northern blowing. The hunters had to row out across the bar to the motorboat. And sometimes they didn't make it. So the first thing I done when I was made man to put up, I got to let me let the channel inside there. And it's a wonderful thing. And even the member said it's the best money they spent. It cost them $4.85 a piece. It's so much all you got to do now is go down and tie on the motorboat and go out on that. So that's the time when it was so rough, you're going right into the north wind. They didn't make it across to them. You just couldn't do it. I just didn't follow these little old or something like that. It was hard to do. Several of them were sunk out there trying to get across.
Yeah. You ever lost any members out here?
Never had accident. We had one fellow that got shot, and he shot himself, just carelessly. He dropped an automatic on the bottom of the boat. His hunting father, Charles Stone, he's coming in one night. Old Dr. C.T. Stone's son, both of them doctors. And he cut his hand over here and just grazed it through the side. And it wasn't serious, but it could have been real serious. But it made a good hunter, I think. Real good hunter.
What changes have you seen in the hunters that were here when you took over the club, the type of hunters you have now?
Well, we have a lot more young hunters now than we did years ago. Years ago, we never had any members that were, I'd say, under 45 or 50 years old. Now we have a lot of fellows 30, 40 years old. Some of them may not know. The young fellows now are, well, I guess at that time the old fellows had to give us the money to hunt. The young fellows didn't. But now they've done better times, about it, you know, and we got a lot of younger members. And they're more active, actually, than the older men. They come hunting more than the old fellows did. But I know when I started guiding out here in 1931, there wasn't any young people in the club. I mean, like young ones, but I don't guess as a man, I'm 50 years old and long as I've been there. We had quite a few of them up in the 70s. They liked to hunt. And now we have, I guess, there's at least 37 hunters. I expect he's on 40 years old. They got a little more go. They like to hunt more often.
Why do you have wooden decoy?
Well, they're just a whole lot more durable than plastic decoys. And some of these fellas get a little bit trigger happy out there sometimes, shooting a couple ducks or something, and they're pretty rough on plastic decoys. The wooden decoy doesn't hurt them shoot. So that's the reason I stay with wooden decoys. You can handle them pretty rough, or a plastic decoys, you just can't handle them rough. And these guys you have now, they're pretty careless with things too. But the members themselves, they will shoot, get a little excited, shoot a cripple right in the decoys, when you do, why? But some holes in those plastic decoys is not very easy to patch it. There's no wooden decoy, all you got to do is paint it once in a while. A little lead doesn't hurt. And it's got, we've got some of them out there, I guess they're 60 years old, we've got a lot of lead in them too. been here as a member for years. He was here last time, I guess, about 20 some odd years ago. I remember being here. Big, tall, gray headed frog, called him Gray Eagle. One of the finest out there in the world was. And still scouts for it. It was a year or two ago for 3 minutes. We've had some pretty important influential people out here. We've had some government. We're supposed to have our Senator Tower down here this year, not now.
As a guest, remember?
As a guest. We've got the Moody down here, time to do.
You mentioned that a lot of the members, or a significant number of them earlier, had come from the Midwest.
And there were quite a few of them, yes. Oklahoma, Missouri, and New York, just different places up there. But now, I don't believe we have any members. I know we haven't any members out of Texas. They're all Texas members. But the charter members were from all over the country. They were more from out of state than were from home state. Well, she was brother, she was from New York. I see family was from Oklahoma City. And I believe Mr. Pierce was from New York, from Pennsylvania somewhere. It might have been from Michigan, I'm not quite sure, but I think he lived in New York.
Since you've been out here, the kinds of ducks, different numbers of kinds of ducks.
Well, some of them know. Now, the canvasbacks and redheads, of course, we still have a pretty good supply of redheads here, but we have the biggest concentration of redheads in this flyway than they have anywhere else. And some flyways are just don't have any. And the canvasback, they just almost disappeared. We used to have this thousand of them. But there's very few now. You couldn't. Some days you don't even see a canvasback. But we have quite a few redheads. But the sprigs, the pintails, the widgeons, the gadwalls, the teal, they're just about as equal numbers out of order, except, proportionally, of course, used to we have more pintails than we got now. I think they're in the country all right, but they're not right here right now. We've got a lot of luck here right now. How about the wages? Oh, the wages. And we did used to have quite a few green head markers here, but we seldom see them now. One skill once in a while. Because they're really not saltwater duck. But we did kill quite a few of them.
How was it that these people got together and decided to choose this stuff?
Well, just some of them were down day hunting and they'd meet one another and some of them got talking about it and they decided to just get some of these fellows together and see if they could form it. And the land was cheap then. And so they bought 1,150 acres of land here and paid just a dollar an acre for it, maybe. Very little. club where they come and go to fees. Which I guess it's one of the oldest clubs on the boat. As far as I know it is. There's not very many like it.
Yeah. How many clubs like this private hunting club did you say exist along the coast?
Well, I don't know of any other clubs like this, except St. Charles Bay Club here in Aransas County. It's north of us on St. Charles Bay. And it was formed in 22 or 23, I believe, organized. And I think the reason it was organized, they kind of copied after this club here. A bunch of men got together and decided to put one on that, which is a good club. But I don't know of any other club like this on the coast. There's lots of people that take duck hunters out. Some of these motels, such as Sea Down here and the Key Allegra here, they have facilities, blinds to take hunters out on duck out on the shore over there. That's about the only place left. And they take some hunters out. But it's not really a club, you know, they have a motel and such there, and just some people come, maybe spend a winter there, and they want to go hunting the lake. But I don't know of any club from Brownville on up, anything like these two. I doubt whether they're successful in it. This few private club with maybe a company owns a oil company, something. This one down there they call the Teal Club that ran his pass. But it's not, it's a company deal. And company oil company. They've had it for several years. And they only got, maybe 8 or 10 blinds. Company employees, officials. There's nothing like this. We have sometimes very size 400 a day, which is a lot of hunters to take care of.
So you have that many hunters out, do you ever find people that don't belong to the club out in here?
Not very often. Once in a while you do. Mostly kids. We have a lease in the marsh above this pretty bay that runs south here. We have 1,700 acre lease, and I've got 12 blinds down there. And every once in a while, especially on weekend, you'll find 2 or 3 kids in there. Well, we posted all right, but we run out once in a while. Gamblers get out once in a while. You hate to stick a school kid, you know. As long as they don't get too big, well, it won't bother them too much. It's been a lot of building in the last 20 years, and probably in time, we'll just close the club out. Everyone wants to move. The vapor on the water, along the water. And it's been all the blood value has changed. Oh, 30 years. And I imagine it, I don't know when, but I imagine the time. It's going to hurt time a whole lot. It's hurt some now, but not that much.
Is that building along the water?
They have built, of course, years ago. There was no buildings at all with them on this. And that's my background is Coastal Bay. And now they've got three or four subdivisions north of us here, within a mile and a half of us. There's a lot of people in there. And you know, population will ruin any game. I mean, none of that crap is happening. Of course, I made it all up.
club as old as this, what sorts of traditions have started in the club?
What's that?
What sort of traditions among the hunters themselves? Any?
Well, I don't know if it's too many traditions. Of course, some of the old members always want the same room. You get planted, I guess. But several of them always ask for the same room every time. Such thing as that, but otherwise, it's, they're not too set in the way, is they? And some of them will have a guy that he'd like to have. And if he's not working, I'll let him. But I don't change guys for a man. But they'll ask for one, and if he's not busy, well, think some of the guys are better than others, which they are. And they get used to having one hunt with them while they keep the kid. The other club draws for guys. They put names in a hat, and the members draw for guys every time they come down. I don't do that. I sign the guys to whoever I think they get along better with. And I put the numbers in the hat. They draw a number every time they go hunting, and every time you get position behind the motor pole. And of course, well, some of them have to get a small number somewhere, depending on which way the boat's going. They think one place is better hung than another, you know. Of course, everyone can't have the same mind and know that. About a day to dry after you might sit down and paint 200 in one day, one color. The next day, you paint the other color. Explain a little more. It's a Tyson gun.
Do you do that yourself?
I do it myself.
What kind of, where do you get your paint? What kind of paint do you use?
Well, I usually get an oil paint and a flat painted mixer to take the gloss off the oil paint. You know, flat paint itself won't stick good enough to wash off for you, but if you mix it with a good oil paint and a flat paint, then it sticks and hasn't got the clear shine on it either, you know, doesn't glisten. But you want a dull paint if you can get, you know, a big oil, you don't want something that shines. So I mix two together and mix my own colors for all of that. I like to hire it done to like find somebody to do it right. But that's a good thing to do after season, though, is February, March, and nothing like that. You can do it because of the weather, you know, really, or get out there and paint the colors.
This is a hunting and fishing club. Do the members use the fishing much?
Yes, they come down quite a bit in the summer. Usually they start about April. And then I usually have some every week. Maybe not over two or three. Sometimes you have 8 or 10. Well, it's more the last few years because you've got so many more younger people and they come down and bring the families with them. And we've got much more than we used to have.
In the early days, did they come out fishing then too?
Not too much. There was a few. They usually had a pretty good crowd on Labor Day and the 4th of July. Otherwise, it was very few came down fishing. In fact, the club was just practically closed, but I keep it open every day. I keep it open all over the summer. But there are more come down fishing by far than used to be, but that was about the only time they had any fishing was 4th of July and Labor Day. They get a big party, get up and come down, you know, 25 or 30 people. And now they come anytime during the week or weekends. They only have a weekend, but if I have some in the summer now.
The local people here, any of them seem to feel that you preempted the use of the bay and kept them from
I don't think so. This club has been here so long, I think they just got used to it and that they didn't think anything about it. And of course, a lot of them have even worked out here, you know. And I've never heard anything to that effect anybody. Of course, there's, I've got some friends once in a while, but I've got a lot of others that want to go on. I live in the barn. Of course, you can't let everybody do it. But I'd rather for them to use mine and mine than go out to build mine. But maybe not, wouldn't have them once or twice a year. So we've been offering on that bit of home. And also, I know everyone practically. Except for newcomers. Lots of retired people coming up that tomorrow, such as that service.
Imagine the days of rowboats, there weren't too many people using them, but what about the playground? Everybody had an elbow?
There wasn't. There was very few people. You probably ever seen a, what we call a tourist fisherman years ago. But now, everyone's got a boat in the motor, and they just run everywhere. Do a lot of fishing back here. And all the bays, not only here, I mean, say everywhere. There's probably 100 fishermen now, where there's one 25 years ago.
Do your hunters complain about it?
Don't do it.
Sundays, though. They come down for a week or two.
Right.
What would they do in their spare time?
Well, they hunted every day. Of course, if they got to land in the morning, sometimes they'd go fishing in the afternoon, if the weather permitted, and then they'd sleep. I remember getting a card game, they fight cards. Used to have some pretty good dice games, but I stopped that. Not so much during the day, but at night, because most of the people come down here to hunt and they want to sleep. They get a good dice game going next room, but they didn't sleep too much. So, man, they quit that.
I mean, there were some pretty high stakes there every now and again.
Pretty high stakes. I seen a fellow went up, you go on Bill, one fellow one night. Then he had to throw the keys and won.
In this present time, we hear a lot about ecology and the degradation of the environment. Have you seen much change here on the bay?
I haven't seen much here. I know we've had change in lots of places, but here I can't see much change because we have a pretty clean bay. Fortunately, we haven't got the plants, factories, and such as that. And the fish, the shrimp, the crabs, and all seem to be just about as plentiful as they were. Of course, cotton farms and farms, insect size probably every morning. There's two rivers that do run in this bay, and they ran into some Mission rivers, which is over where a lot of farmland is. And that's as far as I can see, because they did make them using DDT there. I guess insect size done more harm than anything. I don't know if anything else done very much more harm. I'm sure they didn't do a whole lot because they kept it pretty clean back here. And we don't have much pollution here. We don't have a big city to dispose of or anything. Well, so I guess we're pretty lucky.
Did any of the local people in Rockport ever use Port Bay for commercial hunting?
Not for commercial hunting, no. They haven't. Very little is another. Like I say, two small clubs here, but they're private owned. Peyton Irondale in Houston has a lease here. But they hunt mostly in the marsh. They don't hunt on the bay. They hunt with a triple bind in the bay. And then over in Swan Lake, the people bought Moody's property over there. The guys from Lynn Henderson, I understand. And he has two or three pines in the bay. But hunts very little, maybe three or four times a year. So we don't bother too much outside hunters. But once in a while, there's someone who goes and gets my blind. If I'm not going to use blind, I don't even bother. They pine. I'd rather do that than say I go bell blind somebody, you know, so they can get too thick.
Looks like redfish bay after a while.
That's right. Blind shooting distance one way.
Did they ever have any commercial, any clubs, private clubs on redfish bay?
They had one. It wasn't a private club. It was a public club. About 15 miles every year. And he had lots of hunters. One of them named Jimmy Silverdine. But when the Intercoast Canal was dug through there, why, he sold his property for real good profit. From $4,000 to $75,000, he just retired from the hunting gates. They now have a subdivision there. So that's
anything we haven't touched on that, that perhaps you want to mention?
Well, I don't know. I guess that about covers it all. I know I've enjoyed the management club. Meet a lot of nice people. And I get along with all of them. Of course, I'm sure some of them get a little provoked to me sometimes, but I also get a little provoked to some of them sometimes. But we do get along with other folks. Got a real nice bunch of men. I don't believe you can get 100 men together and get a better bunch.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Harrell.
Thank you, sir. Mayor Paul Gracie.